train. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Gang, hey, it's part two of Stunt Granny Audio 151. Sorry about the hard outro yesterday. This wasn't designed to be a two-part audio. I think I explained it in my non-terse language, but I was not happy last night. We lost the last 35 minutes, maybe?
I don't know if it's quite that many, but... We definitely, I would say at least 20.
Yeah.
20,
and it was
minutes.
Actually, for us, what we considered really good. So we're not going to try and replicate any of the magic. We're just going to talk about it all over again. And it was magical. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, it was, definitely one of the funnier portions of our, of the show. But, yeah. Well, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, for a change. All right, that's where we needed a bell actually, because I just did what we were talking about again. All right, let's start with
Worry, I noticed how shitty of a laugh I had coming across, so it's okay.
Let's start with the weirdest segment of the night, and this was the oh my god, we have nothing for him right now. Let's get him on TV portion, and we did not talk about this last night, so this will be fresh. And that was the Miz's appearance with Jared from Subway. What a bizarre segment that was.
Nothing quite screams, we've got nothing for you than that. Which is also, you know, I mean, we had talked about on the other show about the card filling out. And, you know, that's just, you know, another good example, I think, of them just, they don't have anything for him to do. Like, they don't want him to feud with some lesser guy, really.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really need him beating an Alex Riley level person again.
Yep.
So they're like, well, shit, what can we have him do? And, yeah, that's, unfortunately what they came up with.
Yeah. Well, part of me thinks that the plan was supposed to be him and Rey Mysterio for a little bit.
Oh.
But with Rey's injury, which we'll get into in a little bit, that kind of got shelved. And really, it's kind of in a holding pattern. I mean, who does he face? Dolph Ziggler? No, I mean, besides the heel thing, stepping back to the United States Championship is a step back right now.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, Del Rio's going with Cena right now. CM Punk is out there, but as we talked about, he's kind of with Nash, an eventual feud, which to me it looks like it's going to be Triple H, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this whole thing,
yeah.
No matter who's done it, Triple H is probably going to have to back up the word.
Right. And then also, you've got R-Truth, whose feud with Morrison looks to be over unless they do one final match. And then, but even then, I could see him feuding with R-Truth, because as you were stating last time or pointing out, R-Truth's getting a little more popular now with the little Jimmy stuff. Where Miz, he's doing some cool stuff, but he's not getting the, I almost said adolescent. What's the word I'm looking for? The older crowd,
right?
Like CM Punk is, or R-Truth is now. So Miz's holding pattern is kind of concerning because they don't have much, and you can't tote out Jared from Subway with. I don't remember what the hell was the sandwich. It was a non-fried chicken, but it was breaded chicken sandwich.
Oh, something like that. I didn't even pay attention to the type of sandwich, to be completely honest with you.
Well, but see, they were trying to get it trending. I'm going to go and try and find it, so let's bear with me.
Yeah, well, you have fun with that. I'm not going to look for it.
Yeah, let's see. Well, their buffalo chicken's disgusting.
I mean, it's Subway.
Yeah, well.
Eat fresh, even though our food is not remotely fresh.
It's called Oven Crisp Chicken. Skip the grease and go for the breakthrough taste of the new Oven Crisp Chicken. Never fried, never greasy, always tasty. If you can get through the bread and the ranch dressing, because if you don't put ranch dressing on their sandwiches, it's dry. Yeah. And then you're trying to eat less fat grams and less calories, but if you put ranch on it, it does the exact opposite of it. Yeah. But yeah, so that was the sandwich. And someone pointed out, why did Jarrett come into the building with a sub anyways? And obviously, this is, you know, really nitpicky, but...
No, it's not even nitpicky. It was just like, if you were watching and that wasn't your first thought, I think you have problems.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of asshole stands there all day with a foot long sub, regardless of the brand? I mean, you don't buy a sub and carry it around all day like it's a baby or a puppy or something.
Yeah, I don't care how much he whores those things out.
Yeah, you eat the motherfucker and go on.
Yeah.
What was this? It was kind of reminiscent of, what was it, Kentucky Fried Chicken's?
The bucket of chicken that CM Punk?
Yes, I'm interested in some of that chicken. Or give me some of that. Yeah, there was a grilled, grilled Kentucky.
Yeah.
What the hell is it called? KFC, that's it.
No, they're back to Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's the other thing. I keep up with the whole food movement there.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, how are they going to work in Kentucky Fried Chicken, grilled chicken? I mean, that's too long.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's when you just call it the KFC grilled chicken?
At that point. I mean, that's been a number of years now.
Since I did that little segment. Dude, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. That was one of the saddest dining experiences I've ever had. We got the buffet, which, yeah, they have those.
Yeah.
Just because Bishop wanted KFC, and he always bugs us about it. I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So we go there. Nobody in this restaurant is talking to each other. They're all at least over the age of 60. And it's just those old married couples who have just run out of things to say, and the other one just won't die. So they're just sitting there eating their chicken, reading their paper, and not paying a lick of attention to each other.
Right.
It felt like church. Like we couldn't talk to each other. It was so uncomfortable. It was a weird experience. And then the food wasn't good either, so go figure.
Yeah, the look of shock and surprise on my face, if you can see me.
Well, I got the grilled... And a grilled off of a buffet isn't good.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Their fried chicken's still pretty good. But, you know, whatever. I haven't had it in years, so maybe it sucks now. But, okay, so yeah, but so anyways, Miz takes the sandwich from Jarrett, does the pitch, and then does his I'm awesome and leaves. And you're just waiting for Jarrett to get in the ring of like, hey, you're stealing my gig or something. Or... I mean, say, hey, pussy, get in there. He just stole your sandwich.
Oh. Yeah. I was expecting a little bit more out of it. I don't care if it was someone defending Jarrett or what, but yeah, I was expecting something to happen.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Someone to defend him. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. It was just like, really? That's the end of the segment?
So, I mean, it's an obvious one of those, like, it did not work sort of segments, but, I mean, it got Subway their free publicity. I'm sure that's not how they intended it to do or be.
Right.
Unless, and I know this isn't going to happen, but unless WWE signs some gimmick with Subway for, like, Survivor Series or something. So you buy a combo and pay your $4 extra for chips and a drink, and you get a WWE collector cup or something. You know, or the wrapper or the cup has, or the regular cup has like the Miz on it, and you know, like the thing they have going with 7-Eleven right now, the big gulps.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they just like horn the Miz out anyway. He seems to be their pitch man now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, to his credit, good. I mean, yeah. Nice work, man.
he's not going to lose his position if he's doing that much horn out.
Right, right. And, well, I mean, he's young. He's well-spoken. He obviously doesn't mind the travel and being on TV and promotional work.
Yep.
So, might as well.
And I can't even say it. He's good-looking.
Yeah, well, yeah, so anyways.
Hey, if he somehow bagged Maurice, there's something going on there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Aside from the fact that she's probably just a hooker. I mean, essentially.
All right, well, you heard it there.
Essentially.
Kevin thinks Maurice is a hooker.
In my humble opinion.
All right.
Allegedly.
Yeah, there you go. That took me by surprise. All right, so let's move away from The Miz and get away from that entire line of thought. All right, so we were talking on part one about the main event picture, how there's all the different people. And the top of the chain, as much as CM Punk has been getting a push, and really his push is only about a month and a half old. I mean, this sustained the push of his.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, definitely, like, main event on Raw-wise, that is, because that was something else that we didn't really touch upon, I guess, was him. I mean, it was his fourth title reign that he just had,
yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, ECW twice as the world champion, and then once as WWE now. Or twice as WWE, I guess. Or is it once?
Well, I would say once.
Once,
I thought it was
yeah.
three times as the world champion.
He beat Jeff Hardy. He beat Edge.
I always thought he was saying he had three reigns, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, no, he considered the ECW. The ECW championship was considered a world, I believe.
Oh.
No, like WWE's considered a world.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's what it was. So, but yeah, it. But all right, but going back. John Cena's still the top of the food chain.
Oh, yeah.
For now. And I know that's kind of a strange thing to say right now. But at one point, there were two to three top guys for WWE. I mean, you had The Rock, Austin, and then the interchangeable one of Mick Foley, Triple H, and Undertaker. And then eventually it became Steve Austin, Rock, and Triple H. And then, you know, as everyone started fading out.
Oh, right.
And they broke the brands up, too, which, you know, divided it up, obviously. That's what it seems to be, and I think this is a point I failed to make yesterday. That's what it seems to be doing now, is you're getting your very top tier, and there's those guys are established, and all the feuds are going to run through them. But right now, all the feuds are going to run through Cena. CM Punk's did. The one with Alberto coming up is going to run through him. And if John Cena keeps working the way he does, I don't see a problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely is. He stepped up to the plate for CM Punk, honestly. And, you know, let's see if he does it for Del Rio. Because Del Rio certainly needs more of a rub than CM Punk does.
Yeah. And I think it's off to a pretty good start. I mean, we're going kind of out of order here, but after that match, Cena ran down to save Ray, because he should. He's like him or not, he's still the epitome of the Hulk Hogan era good guy. You know, he's going to come down and help the person in need.
Yeah.
So,
and plus, I mean, Ray's been a good friend of his too, so I mean, that kind of helps.
Right. God damn it. At least one thing's carried over from yesterday. I still lose my train of thought in the middle of saying to say five different things. But no, so you've still got that. You still got that Hulk Hogan type, so the kids are still going to get behind him. But one thing that's gotten lost, and everyone bitching about Kevin Nash, complaining that CM Punk's not the champion, they disrespect him or they screwed him over, and blah, 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 blah. John Cena has stepped his game up. To put it in the, you know, those terms. His mic work's gotten better. His in-ring work, yeah, he still has, you know, Some of his offense still looks loose, but he's pulled out, what, a drop kick? He's going off the top rope, missing. He's taking bumps left and right. He's not doing the Hogan, all right, you feed to me sort of stuff. He's bumping back for everybody now.
Right.
And it's not like the matches with The Miz, or his R-Truth matches, where it's just like, oh my God, to cover up to what I thought I saw as his shortcomings, they used gimmicks, like fucking kid saying John Cena won't ever quit, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So I guess it's kind of annoying that no one's acknowledging the fact that John Cena, in the last 2-3 months, is doing some of his best work. And, I mean, fill in the blank if someone goes, well, that's pretty easy when you were at the bottom all the time. Okay, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, and I don't think everyone turned against him. It seems, it's another one of those ones where it seems like it was ages ago that everyone turned against him, but has the hate been really, like, fully there the whole, what, he said he's been around 8 years now?
God, has it been that long?
Yeah. Something all like right. that. So, you know, I don't think people started to hate him until much later, honestly.
I think when he became, like, the Triple H, where Triple H was never losing.
Yeah.
I think that's when a lot of people got on him, but he's been showing ass lately. I mean, he lost in the main event of WrestleMania, regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah.
He still lost. he won the next pay-per-view, then beat, I think it was R-Truth, the next one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then wasn't CM Punk was the next one, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had many pay-per-views since then, honestly.
So I'm sure we're missing something. Whatever. But no, I think it's just time for people to acknowledge, you know, this CM Punk has brought out the best of him. Whether, you know, intentionally or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, CM Punk and whoever's saying, hey, dude, we just need you, we need your help. You know, all these people are just kind of stuck here. We kind of need to kick them into the next gear. Mm-hmm. And you're the man to do it. You know, it could have been a backstage thing for all we know that they just told him, hey, straighten up and we can, you know, help you out in the long term because everyone's getting tired of your couple of feuds.
Yeah. And you also have to figure, and maybe later we can bring it up, I don't know, but since we keep mentioning Hulk Hogan, at Hogan's worst, he was still a businessman. He was still trying to make money for himself, which in turn made money for the company. Not as much as probably they could have made. So you almost got to think that Cena's got to see the writing on the – or had to have seen the writing on the wall sooner or later that buy rates were down, ratings were down. Well, ratings actually, I think, have actually just – they've met that mark and they'll fluctuate and that's it. They're not going to spike here and there.
Right.
But no, and just look at him and go, look – we're out of people. There's nothing for you to feed. That means it's going to take a hit on your wallet.
Oh.
And No.
I mean, that's a solid possibility.
Yeah. You got it. Or he realized it himself. I mean, if you've got no one to feud with, you're not going to see kids forcing their parents to buy them $120 worth of merchandise at an event. Freely buying $120 worth of merchandise at an event. Right. Which is still one of the more shocking things I've ever seen. It's just, I've never seen boxes of 20s, man. That was insane. Just sitting out there like that. I want to see, I mean, just, I know we cover this in WrestleMania reviews, but man, shirt, hat, wristbands, that goofy Cena, was it padlock or whatever it was, the necklace.
The blinking necklace.
Yeah, there was something else, wasn't there?
There's a lot of stuff. I mean,
it
was another thing that we pointed out even at the time, which is there were people booing him with his merchandise on. Like, mm-hmm. You know, they knew that they were part of it. So, you know, the guy obviously is doing his job.
Yeah. That's still one of the best things, too. Just you turn around, he goes, that guy is booing him with his shirt on. Like, well, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, it was something I saw when I went, I didn't see it. I'll have to pay attention to that when I go to Raw in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to SmackDown here in November, I think.
Yeah, because I was going to say I saw it the last time I went, but I didn't because I saw SmackDown, so.
Yeah, well, it'll be SmackDown, but there'll still be people there with Cena shirts on, and you know they'll show videos, so I'll be curious to see if people just boo it out of instinct or, you know. But I think now with the divide between him and CM Punk, I think the more the people who would buy his merch and then boo him aren't going to do that anymore.
Oh, right.
You know, when you got your guy and everyone's booing him, you know, now it's time to defend him because you've got someone to go against. And I'm talking clearly the older people because little kids don't give a crap.
Right.
But yeah, but no, it's a smart business move for Cena to extend himself now. You don't always have to win anymore. Especially he's lost twice now and he's still in the main event picture.
I like the fact that they're not going to burn out this thing with CM Punk either. Like, right. We covered in the first part there about Orton and Christian having good matches. Now, I didn't see the one at SummerSlam between Cena and Punk, but at least from what you've said and what I've also read elsewhere, is that they at least had a very good match again.
Yeah. It didn't match up to the first one because of this one told a more of a story. The second one was more of a wrestling match with one little blip of a story at the end. I mean, you didn't have Triple H. You didn't have the whole foot on the rope thing. It was just, you know, straight up. It was a straight up match the first time around. So, and it's always hard. I mean, even the Shawn Michaels Undertaker second go around wasn't as good as the first one. Oh. Not to say it wasn't good, obviously.
Right. You're right. It wasn't as good.
Yeah. Now just imagine a rematch between Undertaker and Triple H at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, great. they can upgrade.
Yeah. No, that was a classic.
Oh, I know. It was a classic.
That one punch, rest for 30 seconds, one punch, rest for 30 seconds, pedigree 2 minutes into the match. I mean, that's awesome. I mean,
I wasn't sure drama. To put that into the Big 11 from last week when I said that the Gargano, Johnny Gargano, Josh Prohibition, M-Dog 20, Matt Cross match was the best match I saw live. I thought I was going to spend too much time bitching about Triple H and Undertaker, so I kind of left it out of that equation.
Yeah. I have yet to see that match with commentary. I want to see if the commentary by Jim Ross will sway me into thinking that was a good match. I will go into it with an open mind, expecting Jim Ross to make me go, holy shit, I was totally wrong.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm still going to give him the opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, going back to Cena, I don't mind him going after Del Rio now, especially because he had the chance or the opportunity or, you know, the possibility of totally coming out and cutting one of his awful promos. You know, the jokey, the poopy jokes or, you know, wink, email me at blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And again, he didn't do it. He hasn't done that in near 2 months now.
Yeah.
So.
Or if he has, it's been extremely limited.
And if he has, I think he's gotten called out on it by Punk or whoever.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like that reflex where, you know, like a dog, Pavlov's dog. Just, you know, someone, you say something, they nail it, you're not going to do it anymore. So, you know, that's not Pavlov's dog, but, you know, I was trying to sound smarter. yeah. But no, I don't know. I wish I could remember what the hell we said yesterday because it was much more engaging, but Oh, well.
Well, we were making fun of the internet crowd a lot more yesterday for all this stuff, and we've pretty much let that slide this time around and talked about it. So.
Yeah, the voice of the internet.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ah, bell time. Maybe people will catch up. I mean, you know what? Maybe if whenever we do what we were talking about, we just say bell time after it, people will catch on to what we're talking about. It'll be our own little private joke. But no, I think one of the things we were talking about was the fact that Cena was still around. No, we already covered that, so that's not it. Oh, well. So I guess we can just move on to Del Rio and Rey for a while. Oh, okay. One thing we did complain about, or we talked about, was the fact that Cena came out and, you know, acknowledged he had every right cashing in that Money in the Bank, doing it that way.
Oh, right.
And it was like that firebrand sort of speech. Like, you know what, you may have won it, but you didn't earn it. Even CM Punk did. And, you know, I'm gonna beat your ass. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Oh, yeah.
And how such a simple word, and it really is, it's not even a curse word.
No.
But what a perceived curse word, how strong one little thing like that was. And it was going to the storytelling part about, well, you know, you can still have a PG show and still tell a good story, which is what Raw's been doing lately.
Yep. And that was the other thing. I started making fun of TNA for, you know, just overusing a word when some guy like Cena doesn't really bust that kind of stuff out,
right?
Then you don't think about it.
Yeah, then it does become shocking. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, like,
oh,
you know,
wow.
Like someone saying asshole.
Asshole.
Asshole. Asshole. Oh, this is something I keep forgetting to ask you and Eric. Who pointed out the fact that Vince Russo likes to write the word frickin' into everything? Or was that Dusty?
It was not me.
All right, I think it might have been Dusty. But ever since they pointed that out, if you watch an episode of TNA, in between them saying asshole, they will say frickin' all the time. It's obnoxious. I would rather them bleep it out to make it sound like they're saying fuck or something. It would be much better. Not that you can ruin a viewing experience for Impact Wrestling.
Right.
But it ruins your viewing experience watching Impact Wrestling. It's just the shit. But anyways, yeah, but the language thing. I mean, you can be like that sort of topical edgy. I think they were using the word piss as well, which I guess is considered a a curse word.
Okay.
I mean, who knew? I didn't. I had no idea.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah, and instead of saying ticked off, they're saying pissed off now. All right. And like the thing you said, these are the kind of things that you can get away with on a PG show, and you should use those. And
yeah, well, and just use them as they have been, which is, you know, just as emphasis rather than, you know, just. Goodness gracious, you know? It's just too much.
Yeah. And TNA's problem is they swear to differentiate themselves from WWE. And they, like, hey, look, we allow swearing on our show. We bleep it out, but we still swear. So come listen, you know, your age group, 18 to 49, come listen to us or come watch us. At the expense of story. And I'm not saying WWE's perfect because they've had some shitty-ass stories lately. I'm sorry, in the last year. But lately, they've gotten better. So there is that balance. And I think maybe they finally found it.
You know, yeah, I mean, only time will tell. And, you know, this is a topic that I didn't bring up at all. That we didn't bring up at all, but we've made fun of them for not being able to write between WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble over the course of the year. And wow, they have not had a problem writing this year during that time frame.
No. Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, I'm glad you brought this topic up, actually, because I hadn't actually thought of that. They changed writing staff. Gurewitz isn't like one of the writers now. He's the go-through guy. You know, he still puts his ideas and that sort of thing. And it just seemed like after the writing staff changed over, all of a sudden everything got better. CM Punk got the mic and went crazy. And which one's that one? Is that Cayenne?
Kai.
Oh yeah. And Cayenne's clearly gonna agree with me on this. But no, I don't know if this is a product of the new writing staff or if this is a product of a writing staff saying, or, you know, they had this program with Punk and Cena coming up. And the writing staff's like, all right, we're going to play this out. Here's your mic time. Go talk. Yeah, you're leaving. So, you know, just go do your thing. This frees us up to do stuff for other people. Punk goes out, slays on the mic, goes back, and everyone's talking about it. And, the writing staff just stops and goes, we've got something. And now they've got something that they can concentrate on other programs now. Like, they don't need to worry about Cena and Punk anymore. It's like they've earned, like, Punk's earned a trust, especially if he's going to work with Triple H and his buddies.
Right.
So that the quality now can be a little bit better. I mean, maybe I'm reading or, fantasizing too much on it.
Well, and I mean, I think that we've been arguing a lot about, the internet crowd being wrong, and maybe we've found the root of, the root cause. I'm not saying it is, but, you know, maybe the writing staff has at least been jostled enough that something is going to happen that everyone's going to like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that, I mean, I don't think, anyone's going to be able to tell until they do this a little more consistently.
Yeah. Man, I'm struggling tonight. It almost seems like this is just like pay dirt. And I guess I just, being, you know, somewhat of a writer, not, you know, I'm not a professional, because I don't work at it hard enough, or a lot at all anymore. I always want to give credit to the writing staff, but you know that pros in wrestling, like Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels, did their program pretty much themselves.
Right.
I mean, Jericho's talked about how they came up with all the ideas. They executed it. And that's what I just think's going on now. They've handed over the reins. They can do something else. And I think the internet crowd, it's always McMahon's fault, no matter what. Like, McMahon's out of touch with this. You know, Vince doesn't care about fans. But then again, it's like the John Cena credit thing, to where Vince isn't getting any of the credit for this stuff. It's all CM Punk.
Oh.
And, you know, it's CM Punk's fault that John Cena's better, or not fault, but, you know, doing. Or, you know, Triple H isn't actually annoying. Now that's CM Punk's doing. Well, no, you got to figure McMahon's just sat there and go, all right, listen, we're going to rein all this stuff in. You know, the product, the ratings aren't good. Pay-per-view's dropped. You know, merch is down. I think merch is down. So I may be wrong on. Yeah. Outside of John Cena, I got to figure the merch is down. I know people were pissed off because Zack Ryder was on TV and lost a match. Now, look, I like Zack Ryder. I'm pretty sure you do.
Yeah. Outstanding character.
I like Santino, or I did. He kind of sucks now.
Yeah, well,
I don't care if they lose matches. Get the guy on TV. Who did he lose to like a week or two ago? It was in a tag team match. It was him and Santino. Oh, versus McGillicuddy and
Otunga,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
and he took the pinfall. Okay, yeah. Well, give me one good reason Zack Ryder should be in a tag team match with Santino on Raw to begin with. Let alone against the tag team champions, and why should they go over?
Yeah, not a one.
So, and you can make the argument that Otunga and McGillicuddy are boring. Okay. You win. But to the majority of people who don't watch Zack Ryder, and if you look, and I love the show. I really like listen to his stuff. It's funny. He's bragging about having like 25,000 hits or views or whatever.
Right.
How many people are in the country?
Yeah, no, I think it's about 100,000 or something like that views, and there's 350 million people in the country.
Yeah.
And
so there's that.
And there's a bigger audience than just this country for wrestling.
Right. And that who get YouTube access.
Right.
You know, maybe it's because China has theirs restricted. Maybe it'd be more if they got out YouTube, but but no, I don't want this to come off as if we're bashing Zack Ryder, because that's not the point at all. But just because he has an internet show doesn't mean that he should be winning matches yet. It's not going to do anything to hurt his character when people aren't behind him anyways.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, because we had all, I don't know who had mentioned it, maybe being a plan to let this ride out a little bit longer. Because it seemed like he got more and more signs, and I don't know, is it just me that it seems like the last couple weeks since they have gotten him on TV, he's had less signs in the crowd?
I thought the same thing. Yes, indeed.
Just like, oh, okay, we finally got behind our guy, he got on TV, we can just rest on our laurels now because he's finally on TV.
Okay, there's that aspect, but also, is it, well, we got him on TV, and, wow, yeah, it's, you know, he's entertaining in his webisodes, but in the ring, he's not so entertaining. Now, again, I'm not saying he's not.
Right.
But there's got to be something there. Now, also, we're seeing it on Raw. I mean, I don't know if SmackDown's different, because it sounds like he's a permanent resident on SmackDown now, which is good. That's where he should have been when they did the draft to begin with. I mean, he's got the goofy gimmick of, you know, calling it Friday Night Zack Down and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, now... if they're going to use that as they have recently as their development area, there's no reason he shouldn't have been on there.
Yeah, exactly. but no, I'm trying to toe the line here because I don't want this to come off as a just bashing Zack Ryder sort of thing. But, I mean, you've got to put the honest opinion out there that...
Well, and I mean... There's just a difference between doing, you know, the videos on YouTube and having a character that's gonna work in the wrestling environment. Like, it's great that he can be goofy and kind of joke about the training and all that fun stuff, but he needs to be at least slightly more serious about it when he's coming to wrestle, or else he is gonna get stuck in Santino mode where, you know, he gets his push for a couple of months, and then he's toast.
Yeah. And it's also, and I'll never forget this, is when Triple H turned heel. I can't remember what WrestleMania it was. And he was like the DX leader, and, you know, he cost X-Pac the European title against Shane McMahon.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
And I remember Triple H always talking in interviews that, you know, he was out there, he was having fun with his buddies, he was doing this. But there was no money in being goofy. There was no money in not being serious.
Oh, well, and I disagree with that to some extent, but an elongated career definitely is benefited by being serious.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the point he was making. And so I just wonder, I mean, you know, it's cool. It's cool Zach's got a character. I don't know how long you can sustain it, though.
Agreed.
So it's like sooner or later, and the problem is he was a serious character before when he was one of the edge heads. And then it was just him on his own with no real character, just him being himself, and it didn't work. So there is the fear that if he keeps up as a comedy act, he'll get pegged as the comedy act. But then if he switches to being serious, it won't work, and everyone will be like, well, look, you got to go back to being the comedy act. So he's kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's Zack Ryder. I don't know, just one of those internet things, I guess.
Yeah, that was definitely not a planned topic.
Yeah, yeah, I do like how we're talking about the internet as if we're not a part of it, too. I do see. Is that irony?
No. In a way, but when it seems like everybody agrees, and everyone kind of puts it that way, like, you kind of get the tidal wave of opinion on the internet, and everyone does at least seem to be in the same area of opinion. And when you disagree with it, like I said, well, I said it on IMDU, it feels kind of invigorating to at least be able to punch holes. Because most of the times you kind of look at stuff that's going on, you're like, yeah, I can't really see it any other way.
But, yeah.
You know, going back to the, you know, the cloudiness of the who sent the message to Kevin Nash and everything, there's...
Well, it was obviously Triple H, Kevin. Triple H has taken over everything from the second he got back. The show's been about Triple H. Triple H is just there to Bigfoot everybody. Even if he's not on the show, he's still, his name's always in the, always being mentioned. It's all about Triple H now. So, John Cena, it's just Triple H. Triple H just wants to make everything about himself. He's the biggest backstage politician there is, Kevin. You just don't understand. I kind of got back into that. That's the voice of the internet, so I'll have to work on it a little bit, but... Sorry, I just totally Bigfooted you. Right back around to the Triple H part.
But... Yeah, no, I... Well, and I don't even really give a shit in that department. You know, I think we've made our point, honestly, just talking about everything. And I mean, I don't know if we did as good a job as bashing some of our fellow friends that we've met online. But, overall, I think there's a lot to, you know, probably look forward to.
Yeah. Well, I guess wrapping up the show, we'll combine the two. The Del Rio Rey match, and we were both agreeing there was no chance Del Rio was going to lose. But I think the big thing is that Rey's been working on this through this knee injury. And now ProWrestling.net's reporting that Rey won't need surgery, but he's going to miss a bunch of months for rehab.
Right.
I'm no surgeon. I don't know. You know, there are pieces of anatomy. I know what it is. But if you're going to be out for all those months, why not just get surgery done? And I know it's like kind of just like, you know, throwing it out there like surgery's no big deal. But if you're going to be on the shelf, why not just get the corrective surgery you need instead of rehabbing two knees that are just shot?
I don't know. A lot of people seem to like to do it that way. I mean, I've seen enough athletes pull it off that way. You know?
Yeah. This is a guy, though, and we talked about this yesterday, about how, you know, the knee injury, and it's like, you got to do what you got to do. And we both almost simultaneously said, even if that includes giving it up. So, I mean, he apparently doesn't need to, and it's not a suggestion otherwise, but... There comes a time, I mean, he's only our age, that you gotta make that decision that you want to be able to walk later. Or maybe it's already too late and they are gonna have to replace both of his knees. Maybe he already knows that. But it just seems like he's putting off the inevitable.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not our call to make, but you know, you can't tell someone, well, you got to quit what you love doing or quit what you are doing. You know, whether he loves it or not, it's two different things. But yeah, just knowing he's on the show for a while, and they obviously filmed the angle because, you know, to get rid of him for a while.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we've talked about this with hockey players as well. like knee injuries and that, these guys come back quick. Or a lot quicker. Remember, it used to be like a year and a half people would be out with knee injuries.
Right.
And now it's only, what, 4 months with surgery?
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild.
So I guess as the selfish part of me, for someone who still enjoys Rey Mysterio's matches, I would rather just see him take the time off, get healed, and go out, you know, get back out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what to say. You know, if they feel like that's a good course of action, then, you know, have at it. You know,
yeah.
Because you're always taking a chance when you're getting surgery done.
Right, right.
No matter what, no matter how simple the procedure, there is, you know, a chance that something goes wrong.
Right. Or you get in there. I'll say it this way, knowing how dumb this is going to sound, but, or they get in there to repair what they think is going on, and they get in there and go, oh, this is way worse. You're going to be on the shelf even longer now. When, in theory, you may not have had to have that done, and you could have kept going, which is still detrimental to your long-term health. But, you know, from a money-making standpoint, it's better that you're only getting the bare minimum done, which is kind of why they need time off. I know we discussed, like, Punk. He could have been out for a little while longer to heal up, get off the road for a while. I guess that's why a lot of guys like going to TNA, because Dixie will pay him a shitload, and they work, what do we figure, 6 times a month, maybe? 5 times a month?
Yeah.
If they're not on the house show circuit. Or you sign with TNA, you slim down by not eating red meat, and then you somehow become the first person to ever be suspended by TNA, and no one cares that you're not on TV. We won't name any names, but you know. So yeah. So I guess that kind of covers all the WWE information we had, huh?
Yes, it does.
Did you want to talk about Linda Hogan at all?
No.
No? All right. I think that's Kevin's way of saying, hey, I'm hungry. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Well,
so.
Yeah, we've done like another 45 minutes.
Yes, we did.
And it's just
so,
like, okay, I'm just kind of tapped out. We've done a lot of talk in the last 2 days. We're like, oh, yes. Yeah, this one will be short. And yeah, whatever.
Please. I think it'd be better if we just said, hey, this is going to be long. And then we run out of shit to say after 10 minutes. I think that would be awesome. That would just be incredible. So yeah. So. We got some decent things. We have a ton of ideas for stuff that's going on. Now that our name is getting out there on a national level, thanks to our old bosses at PW Torch, you can check it out. We had the exclusive. I posted it on there. Mick Foley, you know, during my really bad tweeting on Monday of just really idiotic comments that no one was going to understand because I didn't put them in the proper context, mentioned that he wasn't on the WWE's 21 or the 50 greatest stars of the 21st century or whatever it was. He said he wasn't hurt. PW Torch picked it up, which is where we used to be at. So I want to hope that's kind of what they were doing. I'm sure it's not. so you can check them out, especially check out the East Coast Audio over there. Those are our buddies. And then come back over here for, you know, the hard hitting stuff. I totally lost steam on that. but no, we got a lot of ideas. So hopefully they'll come to fruition. So yeah, so you can check us out. Stunk, at Stunk Granny. I'm at Granny Maze. Kevin is at DeFrango11. Dusty is at Dusty Giebink. You can find them. We're all linked together. StunkGranny@gmail.com. If you've got something you want to send us or point out, check out our buddies at Pro Wrestling Ohio. The Resolution 4 just completed. So the new TV, is that going to start this week?
Yeah, I think actually they said that new programming was going to be up, so I don't know if they're going to start showing Resolution highlights this Sunday or not.
All right, well, good, because we
will definitely inform of that, at least on Twitter, if they do that.
All right. Well, if any of our buddies at PWO know, just tweet us and let us know. We'll pass it on. Is that all the plugs?
Yep.
All right, I'm out of here. Later, guys.
And it is time to grab a sippy time beer for yours truly. Have a good night, grandkids.